Yeah, I know. Yeah, but I'm not going to send you the money back, bud. No, I mean, it was your decision. That's who you chose. I didn't choose him. I quit gambling. You wanted action, I gave you action. I understand. Okay, but I'm not sending the money back. We're good, right? All right, yeah. Don't lose faith. Buffalo, they're fine. They got seniors. They're just going to try harder now that they lost. All right, bud, we'll be good. All right, we'll be in touch. Okay. All right, bud. All right. Welcome to I Quit Gambling. So I started a podcast hosted by comedian Benny Legg. That's me. I just got off the phone with the envelope man. I introduced you to him last episode. He sent me $50 to put on Buffalo to win the national championship in college basketball. And last night they got blown out by like, I don't know, 20, 30 to Marquette. And, you know, I quit gambling, so I'm rooting for Buffalo. I really want Buffalo to win. I've been looking for a team to root for. I don't really watch sports a lot. Don't really root for teams as much as I used to. I wanted a team to root for. So when the envelope man said he wanted to bet Buffalo, I was all aboard. I wanted to jump on it. I want to root for Buffalo. It's great. And I want to get out there for the podcast. People in Buffalo, listen, support this. Support the team. It's a great team. They're going to win the championship. But anyway. So Buffalo loses, and I don't really care. You know, you got the whole season left. It's one loss. No big deal. But, you know, crazy gamblers like the envelope man, they get angry right away, and they just want to hate the team, and they want their money back. And so he called me, and he left a message after the game. I'll play that a little bit later. It's a little harsh. But I just want everybody to know I still love Buffalo, and I know the envelope man. He's going to calm down. I mean, I'm not going to send him his money back. It was his idea. But anyway, today's show, I want to do something a little serious. I'm always joking around. I'm always telling jokes. But I just started doing stand-up comedy, open mic comedies, really. You know, I haven't accomplished anything yet. I'm still doing open mics. I'm still trying to get the voice out there. I think I'm getting better at it, but who the hell really knows? Because I don't really get any feedback from anybody. But everybody says, when I mention that I do it, like, oh, I've always wanted to do that. I want to go up. I want to try it, you know? And I tell people, do it. You should do it at least one time, you know? It's fun. And if you fail, nobody really cares if you fail. So just go and do it. That's the way I look at it. Nobody cares. Nobody cares if you're good. Nobody cares if you're bad. You're just trying to make people laugh. That's it. And if you don't, who cares? But everybody says, oh, yeah, I'll just go up there and, you know, I'll make fun of people and I'll do this, you know, right off the bat. Boom, boom, boom. And that's great. And yeah, sure, some people could do it, but it's not as easy as you think. And people don't realize it. And you don't, like, I didn't realize it. I thought it would be incredibly easy to make people laugh. I thought when the first open mic I ever went to, I thought, oh my God, I'm going to go in. It's going to be a room full of people. They're going to be sitting down. They're going to be all staring at me, all giving me their attention. This is going to be incredible. I've wanted to do this my whole life. I can't wait. So the first time I ever did an open mic was in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And the first joke I had, I came out and I thought, this is it. This is going to get the people to laugh. Now you show up and you realize nobody's paying attention. You're at a bar. There's no stage. You're in the corner of the bar. You just got a microphone. Nobody's even looking at you. Nobody's even paying attention. But that's not what you expect going in. So immediately you realize, crap. This is going to be a lot harder than I thought. So I waited my whole life, and I led with this.
How's everybody doing? I know you guys are looking at me, and you're wondering, when did Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza have a love child?
Waited my whole life to do stand-up, and I led with, when did Jerry Seinfeld and George Costanza have a love child? Nobody even cared. Nobody paid any attention. And I was caught off guard. I expected the room to explode, to laugh like crazy. And it got nothing. And when you get nothing, you stumble sometimes. So, you know, you just stumble. You make up words. You just say things like, like what? I don't know what to say. So, it's like, hey, what are you going to put on your bread? Actually kind of sounds a little Trumpy now that I listen to it. Let's try it out. President Trump, what do you like on your baked potato? Sour cream or? I don't know. Sounds legit. I think that's good. I'm not certain. I don't do a lot of political nonsense or jokes, but I think that sounded like Trump. I don't know. You guys decide. But you never forget the first time you actually get like a laugh at a comedy show. For sure. Because you listen to it over and over and you share it with as many people as possible just so you could let them know, hey, listen, look what I did. I made people laugh. So again, this was out in Pittsburgh, and when you do things for a room, you always kind of want to play to the room a little bit. And this was when the Pirates, beginning of the season, they just traded Andrew McCutchen. Everybody was pissed off about it in Pittsburgh. And I decided to tell a story about the time the Pirates were good, because the Pirates had a 3-year run where they were good after like 20 losing seasons. And in that 3-year time period, I was in an awful relationship. But I started thinking, like, because as soon as I broke up with her, the Pirates got bad again. So I started thinking, like, oh, man, even though the relationship was bad.
So I'm thinking, well, if I get back with her, maybe the Pirates will do better.
The crazy thing is, when you get that first laugh, and, like, it feels amazing, but you don't really know what to do because, like, oh, my God, I've never actually gotten a laugh before. And you don't want to forget what you're supposed to say, so you kind of just try to rush through it when really you got to let the joke sit, you know? Let that joke, let those laughs come as long as possible and then continue on. It's tough because you don't want to forget what you're doing when you're just starting. But anytime you get a laugh, you just let it ride. Let it ride as long as possible. And then, like I said, share it with everybody. Prove to them that you're funny. But that joke really is only going to work in Pittsburgh at that time. I'm never going to use that joke again. But people tell me, hey, you got to be careful with sharing your stuff. People are going to steal it, you know. I post stuff on Facebook, everywhere, you know. The one thing I love about this show is I work jokes out on the show with other people. And if you listen to every podcast, I mean, there's usually a joke continued from a previous episode. So, like, every episode, it's just more jokes. And that's what I love about, like, the continuation factor. Like, I work jokes out on air, and I'll repeat jokes on many episodes because a lot of people are listening for the first time, and they haven't heard the joke before. That's one of the reasons. But I also like to start off doing a joke, and then as episodes go on, expand on that joke. It's, you know, and I feel like I'm getting, again, I feel like I got a great joke I came up with today. Great joke with Chappelle. But, well, you know, maybe I'll do that later. I don't know. But people say, you know, don't share your stuff. People are going to steal it. And to them I say, by the end of this sentence, I got 10 more ideas. So I ain't too worried about people stealing my ideas. But the thing, too, is a lot of times when you're looking for laughs at these mics, it's not so much the material you do, it's the room, it's the audience, you know? It's the delivery. Some nights you'll deliver a joke unbelievable, and some nights you'll deliver a joke completely wrong. And one of the best jokes I have is I have like this weight loss joke, and one of the best pops I ever got in a room was when I did that weight loss joke.
The thing is, I developed a weight loss program through gambling that has really helped me out. What I do is every time I get paid, I put all my money on one game, and if it loses, I just don't eat for 2 weeks. And it works like 80% of the time. And I don't even have to go to the gym. I pay $49 a month for a gym membership, and I don't even go. And I know what you're thinking, $49 a month for a gym membership, that's fucking outrageous. But the thing is, the gym membership's only 10. The overdraft fee's another 39.
That was a great joke. That was the night I won $20 for second best set at Noreen's Open Mic, Sunday Fun Day, on Tropicana is where it is, bar on Tropicana. They do a real fun open mic on Sunday nights with Garrett Hall and Ian Rainier. but I won $20 for second best set that night. And sure, it was like one guy just picked me because he saw me sitting there, and that's why I won. But to actually win money at doing comedy was like so cool, you know? I made money doing comedy in Vegas. It was such a cool feeling. Doesn't mean anything. But I did it. And I felt amazing. I felt so confident. I said, oh my God, that joke is so funny. That joke is going to make people laugh for the rest of my life. So 2 days later, I went out and I did the same joke.
I developed a weight loss program. What I do is every time I get paid, I put all my money on one game, and if it loses, I just don't eat for 2 weeks. And it works like 80% of the time. And I don't even have to go to the gym. I pay $49 a month for a gym membership, and I don't even go. And I know you're thinking, $49 a month for a gym membership? That's fucking outrageous. But you see, the thing is, the gym membership's 10, but the overdraft fee's another 39.
That was incredibly awful, incredibly uncomfortable to listen to, I'm sure. But I'm trying to prove a point here. And when you listen to the first one compared to the second one, believe it or not, the second one was not done in an empty room. There were people there. Well, you could tell the delivery was not the same on the second one as it was the first one. And a lot of that reason is on the first one, the beginning of the set, I was hitting all the right spots. People were laughing. I was in the zone. But on the second one, see, the thing with comedy that they don't tell you is it defeats you. It beats you up. It makes you question anything you ever thought was funny. Because I did the same exact set 2 days later that after I won $20 at the open mic. I did the same exact set 2 days later. And it started off terrible. I was getting no laughs. And when you get no laughs, you just, oh. You know, oh, it's the worst. You just you hate it. It makes you hate comedy. So I went in 2 days. I went from thinking I was the greatest comic in the world to hating comedy again. This thing has a way of beating you up. It's crazy. But when you come up with stuff and you get that laugh, man, that is it. That's the ticket. That's what makes everybody tick. You're looking for that laugh. And you want to share the laugh with everybody to prove to them just how funny you are. Now, I've come a long way since the George Costanza, Jerry Seinfeld debacle. And the most recent thing I did, I tried a little different style. I kind of went up and I didn't wing it. I had ideas, but I didn't know exactly what I was going to say. And it started off a little slow because I was doing this joke about meeting a girl on a dating site. But then I had this thing planned where I was going to pull a piece of paper out of my back pocket as I delivered a joke. And I've never done that before. And I did it. And how I did it, the delivery for the first time doing it, it was perfect. It got a huge pop. And I could just remember, it's crazy because you remember the moments when you get those laughs. And I pulled out a blank piece of paper and I'm looking at it. And I'm just staring at a blank piece of paper. There's nothing on it. But the whole crowd is just laughing. And that delivery was amazing. And I'll never do it as good again. Ever. But so let's just remember, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, George Costanza, We came from that to the most recent thing I did.
And then immediately I'm master. So she's gonna talk to me or get a hold of me ever again. So I like to think that for the rest of her life, she's just going to sit there and wonder who that joke was about. Now, I don't like to talk about people when they're not around. I really don't. So if you want to know her username and let her know I did that joke, it is... See me after the show.
The best part about that is the clap. When you hear somebody clap, when you tell a joke and hear somebody clapping in the background, along with everybody else laughing, you know that you did something right there. The clap is a key. To me, if I clap at your joke, I think it's hilarious, absolutely great. A clap? Oh, love a good clap. But the end of that set, the funny thing is, as great as that laugh was, the end of that set, I thought I had a joke, and I did a joke about going down the high roller here in Vegas, the observation wheel, and I go on it and with strangers, and then when the 30-minute ride starts, I just start doing my sets, you know? I did a joke, and I walked into it. I got a DMV joke, and I brought the DMV joke back.
Beautiful 8642 from the DMV. So I go up to her and I hit her with the best pickup line I can come up with. I'm like, hey, I bet you if you tell me the first three digits of your phone number, I could guess the last four. All right, I'm Betty Lake. Thanks for listening.
So yeah, I finished up with going back to getting the girl's phone number from the DMV with the whole joke, and it didn't land at all. Complete silence, and I felt like, you know, crawling in a hole after feeling amazing from the great laugh I got earlier to ending with the complete silence disaster. And then in that moment, you know, you just kind of rush off stage. You know, all right, I'm Betty Lake. You just kind of like run and hide. Even though you had the great laugh earlier, 2 minutes later, you get nothing. It's a strange game. But the nice thing about failing is it gives you the opportunity to think more and to make the joke better. And I have expanded that joke quite a bit. So the next time I do it, the ending, I think it's going to get a laugh. But if it doesn't, I'm just going to come up with something better. And then do it the next time. Because I don't give up on jokes. I keep trying to make them better, even though a lot of them don't work. But speaking of not working, the envelope man. I mentioned him earlier. He sent me $50 to bet on Buffalo to win the national championship in college basketball at 60-1. And they looked good the other night versus Syracuse. They beat Syracuse. They were undefeated. They played Marquette. They got destroyed. And this has clearly made the envelope man pretty pissed off.
I want my fucking money back. Buffalo sucks. I'd rather put my dick in a fucking pencil sharpener and fucking listen to you again. Benny, you're a fucking dead to me. The envelope man sucks. I might be the envelope man, but fuck the envelope man. I want my envelope back.
I really don't know why he's so pissed off. It's not like they have to go undefeated to win the title. That's the thing with degenerate gamblers. They don't think ahead, you know? They just relax, envelope man. They'll be fine. And come March, when you're collecting that $3,000 out here in Vegas with me and we're partying and we're living it up, you're going to forget all about that 20-plus point loss to Marquette. But I promised everybody out there that every show we're going to do a Buffalo Bulls segment because they're my favorite team. They're the team of the show. I love the Bulls. And I'm not going to let one loss stop me from doing it. I'm not going to jump off the bandwagon. I'm here now because in March, they're going to be cutting down the nets, or early April. See, it's March Madness, but the championship's in April. It's a little confusing. But the Buffalo Bulls are going to win the college basketball championship. And the envelope man is going to collect on his wager. But so let's do the first ever Buffalo Bulls segment. And I'm just going to talk a little bit about the team as the Buffalo Bulls fight song plays in the background. Now, you guys out there in Buffalo listening, you know, come support the team, number one, but support this podcast, you know. You could subscribe on Apple Podcasts or SoundCloud, listen there. And then maybe like, you know, behind the free throw line, you know, people, they hold up like heads of people. Maybe I could get ahead. Can you guys like get ahead of me and put it up behind the free throw basket? If you're listening out there, Buffalo students, that would be amazing. It would distract the hell out of the free throw shooter because it's not that attractive of a face either. Well, let's get into it. Benny's Buffalo Bulls breakdown. After the Bulls' tough loss to Marquette, they are now 11-1 on the season. That's not too shabby. Conference play is going to be starting up on the 29th of December versus Canisius. I expect Buffalo to run the table in conference play. They're not going to lose a game in that conference, and they're going to rise and rise in the projected brackets, and I think Buffalo is going to probably end up with like a 3 seed or something. So I think this 60-1, $50 bet by the Envelope Man is a good wager. And the thing with this Buffalo team, they have a lot of seniors. And what do seniors do in March? They win in the NCAA tournament. So these seniors, they're just going to try harder after that loss. So there she is, the beautiful 8642 from the DMV. And I start talking to her. And she goes, well, I know you do comedy, but can you sing? I like a guy who could sing. So I sang the first lyrics that came to my mind from the album version of the 1997 hit classic Too Close by Next. And I'm like, I wonder if she could tell I'm hard right now. And she was completely creeped out by it. So then I'm like, hey, I have 2 tickets to see Dave Chappelle. I have 2 tickets to see Dave Chappelle. You want to see Dave Chappelle? And she turned out that she really wanted to go. Just not with me. So she paid me $1,000 for the tickets. And I only paid $200 for them. That's an $800 profit. So I went and got a hooker. And you would think that I was disappointed that I didn't get to see Dave Chappelle. But the whole time I was fucking her, I had his Netflix specials played in the background. Now, at the end of every episode, we do a counter. Right now, it currently sits at 6 episodes without gambling. Let's update that counter right now to 7 episodes without gambling. Guys, you could follow me on Twitter at Benny Legg Wins. Follow the podcast at Benny Legg Laughs. You could also follow me on Instagram. Just look for Benny Legg. Look for me on Facebook, Benny Legg. I'm posting stuff all over the place. If you like what you're hearing, let people know about it. Share it, you know? The only way this gets out is word of mouth. It's hard to get people to actually click on what the hell you're posting, especially when you spam them every 25 seconds. But the people out in Buffalo, I'm serious about this Buffalo thing. And we got this segment going, and it's nice to have you. I know a couple of people out there from Buffalo are listening, and we're going to continue doing that every week. And so go Buffalo Bulls. Go ahead and win the title. And you know, if you guys learned anything today, you thought about you want to do stand-up comedy, hope I taught you some of the ins and outs. You know, I know a lot of people, they pay to go to school. My buddy, he's like, oh, yeah, you know, I went to a comedy class, and they teach you all the ins and outs. Which, you know, that's cool, but I've never done that because, number one, I don't think, you know, sure, they could teach you how to do it, but they can't teach you how to be funny. I think you learn all that stuff on your own. But also, it's nice that he went to the class because he paid for it and I didn't. So I just ask him what he learned in the class, and it saves me a ton of money, you know? I'm Betty Legg. Thanks for listening.